When you go to church, are you in anticipation of what you will hear from God at church? Maybe you started out that way. After 40 years, is it the same? Most people that I hear talk say it's watered down. What they're meaning is they used to preach about sin and then people were saved. They repented. But now, when you look at the parking lots, what do you see at these churches? At most churches, what do you see? Greater and greater numbers. When a minister is seeking more people and trying to get more people to come to his meeting, he can turn it and make it sound godly, but mostly what you're going to find is he's slightly off the track. I used to have the same ad agency as Jimmy Swaggart, and my agent told me this. Jimmy Swaggart got tired of having only a few hundred people come to his meetings, so he came to the ad agency. And they changed it all. They got it changed from a few hundred to a few thousand. How? Do less preaching and play more music. Entertain the people. He was a country western singer. At our own church group in Dallas, when I went to Robert Tilton's church, Word of Faith, there was a woman named Ava, and she was a prophet. Bob had a big TV show at that time, and he invited Ava to be on the show. She called me after the telecast, crying. She said just before they went on camera, Bob said to her, "Oh, just one thing, Ava. Don't mention anything about being a prophet, because it's not popular." Killing a prophet. Bob killed a prophet by stopping her from speaking. I told him his house would be left desolate to him because he did this thing. Matthew 23 shows that if you kill a prophet, what'll happen to you? Today they kill prophets by stopping them from speaking, putting them off the air, censoring the programs, not letting them speak certain messages on radio or television. The blog and podcasts are not censored at all. A prophet can speak whatever he hears from God. One time, one of the workers came to me and said, "On the podcast, you can't speak about homosexuals." And I said, "I will speak about homosexuals. I will tell God's view by simply reading the Bible. It's not my view, it's God's view. I conform to his view. I conform my thinking to his view. So all you do is read the Bible." I've been doing this podcast for 4 years or more. I've never had anyone of authority write to me and say, "You can't say that on a podcast," or "You can't say that on a blog," because they'd have to stop the Bible. What I say is, this is what the Bible says about homosexuals and lesbians. This shows God's view. And I take them to Romans chapter 1 and read directly from the Bible. Romans chapter 1, start at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 22. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's verse 24. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You're simply reading the Bible, what God says. This is what God says in the Bible about homosexuals and lesbians. God turned them over to this reprobate mind. They would have to throw the whole Bible out to stop this from being read. They don't do that. You can read it on podcasts, you can read it on the blog, because it is the Bible you are reading. Can preachers preach it at their own churches? Yes, absolutely. That's what they're supposed to preach at their churches, is what the Bible says. Now, why are they not preaching that? They want big numbers. Their attendance would go down. They would lose offerings. That's exactly why they're not preaching it today, and various old-timers say the message at church today is watered down. They've eliminated many scriptures. Have you ever heard Matthew 5:32 spoken at a church? Matthew 5:32, it says the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It tells you that the only scriptural reason for you to divorce your wife is if she's unfaithful to you. That if you divorce a faithful wife, you'll be the cause of her committing adultery if she remarries. Have you ever heard that spoken at a church? I haven't. I've never heard that spoken at a church, that a man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That the only scriptural reason that you can divorce your wife as a man and remarry is if she's unfaithful. That's what Matthew 5:32 says. Matthew 5:32. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery." If she goes out and remarries, she'll commit adultery. "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Now, why don't they preach that? They'll lose people attendance. They'll lose attendance at their churches if they preach scriptures like that. I attended a luncheon at Texas Tech University when I lived in Lubbock, Texas. We had assigned seating, and I was assigned to a table with 8 or 9 people. I was seated next to a man who was wearing the largest cross I've ever seen. It was a wooden cross, and it looked about 9 inches long. This man began speaking to the people at our table. He said that he was the former pastor at Indiana Street Baptist Church. And he said, "Oh, we have such a problem at the church." Well, everybody looked up to see what the problem was. He said, "We have added on to this auditorium 3 times, and we still don't have enough room to seat all the people who are coming to church." I said to him, "Well, if you would read what Jesus said in Matthew 5:32, you wouldn't have a seating problem. If you read this, about half your people will get up and leave when you read this scripture. Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." His mouth fell open. I fled. I wasn't going to stay at a dinner with this man having to sit next to him at a table. I just left. This is the reason they have big crowds at church. They tell the people what they want to hear. It's fine if you divorce and remarry. God wants you to be happy. Oh, it's fine if you're a homosexual or lesbian. God knows that, and He wants you to be happy. But you won't hear this scripture in all likelihood. I've never heard it. I've been at various churches for 40-some-odd years, and I've never heard anybody speak that scripture. I've never heard anybody speak Romans 1 concerning homosexuals and lesbians, and I've never heard anyone speak what Paul said concerning fornication in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, around verse 15, Paul says, "The man who has sex, even with a prostitute, becomes one flesh with the prostitute." I've never heard anyone speak that. Verse 18, Paul says, "Flee fornication. All sins, other sins, are outside the body. But he who committeth fornication, sinneth against his own body." Have you ever heard that? We live in very, very evil times where many sins are approved by the world. Why do you not hear these scriptures taught at church? It would offend people, they would lose attendance of people, and they would lose money. And that's why you don't hear these scriptures. But these scriptures are critical in warning the church. We had a man in our church group who filed divorce papers against his wife. I phoned him and said, "I hear you have filed papers to divorce your wife." "Yes," he said, "I have." I said, "Well, was she unfaithful to you?" Dead silence for a few seconds. And then he said, "No." I said, "Well, that's the only scriptural reason that a man has in the Bible to divorce his wife, is if she's unfaithful." Apparently, he read that verse of scripture because after that, he withdrew the divorce proceedings from the USA court. What's supposed to happen when you go to church? The Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 14, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, Every one of you hath a psalm, which is a prayer, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I went to a little church one time on a Wednesday night, and it was testimony night. This is the closest I've ever seen to this verse of Scripture. It was a testimony night, and different people gave their testimony of what God had done for them that week. It was so exciting. You never knew what was going to happen, but it was always edifying. It was about God. It was what God had done from different people in the congregation. That's what's supposed to happen when we go to church. That's the closest I've ever seen to that happening. At the singles class at Word of Faith, the Bible teacher always would say, "Does anyone have a word from the Lord?" And anyone in the class was free to share that word at that time. That's what's supposed to happen in the church. Now someone will say, "But women can't speak. Paul said, let your women keep silence in the churches." When God called me into the ministry, I said, "Well, what about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14? God said to me, "Look and see what these women were doing." I went to 1 Corinthians 14, and I read that, and here's what it says. Verse 34, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home." It looks very much to me like these women that Paul was speaking of were interrupting the gathering of the church by asking questions. Now, you can't imagine that, can you? But these people met in homes in those days. They didn't have church buildings. They met in homes, often in secret, because the Jews would persecute them and kill them. Acts chapter 21 shows us that Philip the evangelist had four daughters who did prophesy. Prophecy is for the church. Luke tells us that there was a woman named Anna who was the wife of a man who had been dead for many years. She spent all her time at the temple speaking to the people and praying. And if you look at Judges chapter 4, you'll see the incredible account of Deborah, the wife of Ladophi, who spent her time judging Israel. They would come to her for judgment. That's Judges chapter 4. By this, God persuaded me to exhort the church, mostly on radio, then in writings and cassette tapes. Once in a while, some church would invite me to come speak, but most of my work was always writing and recording. Books on Amazon, podcasts, blogs. But that's how God convinced me to do the work of the ministry, which I do. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "If any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, and let that be by course, and let one interpret." I believe one form of other tongues are dreams. There are many dreams that are instructive to the church today. Dreams and interpretation. I have definitely misinterpreted my own dreams sometimes. One time I had a dream way back in about 1990, late 1990. I had a dream that I was in a tall glass building. All of a sudden, the building began to shake. It was like bombs were falling on the building. It was like the whole building was going to fall. I thought it was a bank, because banks are frequently tall glass buildings. I had the interpretation wrong. And also I heard in that dream, this was not the first bombing, but the second bombing. A tall glass building. The World Trade Center. Later, when I saw the newscast of the World Trade Center, it was exactly like God showed me in the dream, the smoke coming from the skyline, and I heard these words in the dream. After the smoke clears and the dust clears, the landmarks will be gone. Dreams are instructive, but you also need interpretation. And sometimes I have failed to pray for interpretation, thinking I knew what it meant. Then in verse 29, Paul says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And today there are many churches preaching there aren't even prophets. This is New Testament scripture. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You don't interrupt one another. You have control over yourself. God doesn't take over and make you speak. You yield to the Holy Spirit. One time, God told me to tell my aunt something, Church of Christ aunt. And I didn't want to do it because I know Church of Christ. They don't usually do supernatural things. But I yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I said, Aunt Artis, I need to tell you something. After I was born again, I was transported into heaven in the night. I was with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. No visual images. It was a spiritual experience. At that time, I was merged into the body of Jesus, made one with the Word of God. God and the Holy Spirit witnessing. And a few nights later, the exact same thing happened to me a second time. I noticed her face as I was talking to her. She was smiling. It was sort of a dreamy look. Not at all what I expected. And when I finished speaking, she said, something like that happened to me once, and it was all golden. She had been taken into heaven too, a Church of Christ member. I wouldn't be surprised that she never told that story to anyone but me. What is the church but supernatural things? Taking God raising Jesus from the dead, things like that, believing in God. Paul says, share those things. Let all things be done to edifying. One time I was visiting on a Sunday morning at a non-denominational church. All of a sudden, a woman jumped up and started waving her hands in the air saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody got excited and started laughing, everyone but me. And the woman ran around the room saying, "Praise the Lord," and they all thought the Holy Spirit had fallen on her. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't interrupt the gathering of the church. And the preacher was talking and teaching. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit brings us instruction and information, reminds us of everything Jesus has said to us, and shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit is not disorderly. Everything at the church is to be edifying, decent, and in order. I could just see Paul going wild over that one, and I would be in agreement with him. And questions, there's no place really for questions during the church service. If you want to ask questions, ask God at home. Ask your husband if you're married, or ask God. That's what I do. I ask God, and He reveals to me the things I need to know. But the things at church should not be limited to one person. I have so often thought, if Jesus was sitting here today in this church meeting, He would not be permitted to speak as a stranger. Only if they knew Him might they permit Him to speak. It's not supposed to be that way. We're going to have a meeting July 22nd in Colorado Springs at Pam Padgett's house, where we are going to try to do the things at the meeting that it says to do in 1 Corinthians 14. Every person at that meeting will be permitted to bring a psalm, a prayer, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. As long as it's edifying. If it isn't edifying, I'm going to be in charge. I'll stop it. I wouldn't let some woman jump up and run around the room and throw her hands in the air and say, "Praise God," and deceive the people. I just wouldn't let that happen. If someone brings a scripture, they're going to have to bring an interpretation, or someone in the room needs to give an interpretation of that scripture, a godly interpretation. If it's not a godly one, I'm in charge. So I'll stop it and bring the correct interpretation. I've had people write scriptures that weren't correct, and I've instructed the person, and the person has received the instruction and understands now where their interpretation was incorrect. Everything's supposed to edify the church, build the church, help the church. If there's a dream presented, I think it should have proper interpretation. If there is a tongue permitted, it should have interpretation, or you should keep silent if there's no interpreter or you can't interpret. How is it then, brethren? Verse 26, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And the bottom line is that last sentence, let all things be done unto edifying, to build the church members sitting there, to build them in things of God. If there's no interpretation, you keep silent. Don't give it. And that's what we're going to try to do, what Paul said at that meeting in Colorado Springs at Pam Padgett's house, starting July 22nd through 26th. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today.